wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all.
Yes, I do.
Need a little help.
Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Politicians, well,
Sacrifice to God. I'll be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with God's Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things as well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers on his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, we enter your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio and the avenue of bringing back the family. God, we pray that you will use us in this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family. That is, in the manner that you mean for families to operate. Lord God, please let Bring Back the Family provide a way to help your children and do what you have done for them to do. We are your children. Please help our parents to give us what is needed to make it in this world. And, Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, you have ordained that Bring Back the Family concentrates on you. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion sober-minded, that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessing this afternoon on all who will speak, and to let them that are listening. Let your glory come forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Amber. Very good. Thank you for that. Train up a child. Okay. Very good. Yeah, we have to give them a chance, an opportunity to do those things so that they, you know, won't be afraid to be able to, you know, do things when people ask them and approach them to do certain things. So we appreciate you, Amber, the youngin'. She's part of our youth. She's graduating this, going into the ninth grade, and so we're going to pray for her and wish her all the well, okay? All right, so wake up, everybody. You know, I love that song. It motivates me, and just gives me, you know, help me to carry on the purpose. And like it always says, something was going on back in that day, and something is going on now. So for the reason that they created that song, it was a lot going on. And, you know, we have a lot going on right now today. And it was a call for people to wake up, to get engaged, and make a difference. Talks about hatred, war, and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? And what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Who is willing to sacrifice and roll up their sleeves and get busy helping and supporting our youth? Okay? Every day we see what's going on right before our eyes and all over the world. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. To help, because everyone is affected by what we are seeing and what we are hearing. Okay? If things just keep going on the way they are, you know, we're not safe, nor are our kids safe. Because our kids are going to have to go out in this world and interact with other people, other kids, other youth. And we can't just harbor them and keep them home and thinking that they're going to be safe. Okay? Like I said, eventually they're going to be out in this world, you know, as well. So block by block, do something for the youth in your block or any youth that you come in contact with that needs help and support, okay? We're going to keep pushing education and the importance of being able to have skills and abilities to make it in this world, okay? And bring back the family is that avenue, a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, okay? So that our youth can contribute and be a contribution wherever they go to society and others around the world, okay? We want to produce good citizens, you know, like you and me. We're not running around taking things from people, robbing and killing and stealing, okay? So this is what we want to produce. We want to help the youth walk a narrow path and, you know, so that they can have the opportunity to travel, they can have the opportunity to do all the things that we do, live comfortably, have a roof over their head, be able to go to work, drive a car, go to church. Okay? So we have to help them do that. It's not going to get any better if we don't. You know, I'm a little disturbed today a little bit because it's just so much going on, you know. It's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And I'm seeing and just hearing too much. And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. It's like we're so out of order and neglectful of our youth that like the courts and finding placements for our troubled youth is just at an all-time high. It's like, just imagine having a backlog or a lineup for our youth to be in programs or be, you know, locked up, preparing them for the next level of a life we don't want them to have, like a prison life, okay? And instead of taking them and, you know, the church, letting the church have a long line for them to get into, just going to church, line them up and sign them up for events, to keep them busy, you know, sporting events, tutoring, homemaking, just being creative, and just plan some events for our youth so that they can stay out of trouble. We got long lines in court trying to put our kids away, you know, because they don't have what they need, or we're not spending enough time helping them get what they need or to stay out of trouble. So we have to help them. And Bring Back the Family is about helping the youth get what they need to make it in this world. Okay? That's what I can do. And that's what I vow to do. And it's about just bringing awareness, you know, just helping in my block, helping all the youth that I come in contact with that need help and support. That's what I can do. I know I can't say the whole world, but if we just tell somebody about Bring Back the Family, or if we just ourselves do something in our block, or kids that you see that's gone astray that need help, you know, contribute. You know, be something special in their life so that they can have something to look back on and say, wow, so-and-so helped me, or somebody helped me when I was maybe going the wrong way, okay? And so if we tell somebody about Bring Back the Family and what we're about, share the information that you have been given, the flyer, just copy and paste it, so that everybody can be on the same page. You never know where this is going to go or where it's going to take us. But we need to do something. We can't just sit and wait and watch, you know, things just keep happening. Yeah. Okay? I just hope it, you know, it catch on and people realize their responsibilities and, you know, their responsibilities to the youth. They're the ones that's coming up. We shouldn't be, you know, just waiting. It's like the lines are long for the jail. They're long. The juvenile system, the jails, the prisons. We're just signing them up, getting them ready for the next level, you know, for prison. Sign them up for some activities, you know. Take them to church. Let's get them started with that. You know, would you rather put them in the line going into a church than a line that's going to lead them and keep training them for the next level of prison? Hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, we don't tell anyone about, you know, what we're doing on this show, and then it's going to stay stagnant. But I trust and believe that God didn't create this show just to be stagnant, just to not go anywhere and not to help anyone. Okay? So if you're doing something and you're helping the youth do something to better or help them, you're giving them a good word, you're buying them a book, you're giving them some work to do, whatever it is, That's good. That's a start. That's something, okay? Because if we don't, it's just going to get worse. So today we're going to talk about education. We don't keep on talking about education because it is important. It's important. It's a start for them to be able to get to a point where they're going to go to college and they're going to graduate and they're going to, you know, be able to work. So keep that in mind for all kids that they're going to get to this point one day, you know, from infancy. They're going to learn at each level. So they're going to get to that point. So that should be, like, well on our mind, or weighing on our minds, how we're going to get them to that level, okay? So we're going to talk about, discuss education, college readiness, resources, and education motivation. How are we going to motivate our kids to have education on their mind? Parents, how are we going to educate our parents to and motivate them to have education on their mind, to know that this is what should be done for our youth early, you know? It seems like what I'm seeing a lot of is that a lot of parents put more emphasis on the kids when they're in trouble, and they support those systems, the court system and all of that, and they go to the appointments and make sure they show up for court dates. Got to get them before that. And we have to let them know that we're interested in them being good, productive citizens. Not lawbreakers, good, productive citizens. And get them ready early for school, early for, you know, kindergarten. Get them ready early for elementary and junior high and on to college. They need a plan, okay? So we're going to discuss that. Let me see. I'm not sure if, let me see, our guest is on yet, and she might be. Let me see what numbers I have here going on. Just press 1. Okay, she might have got disconnected, but press 1, call in, and press 1, Ms. Benjamin, if you are connected. Okay. Yeah, she's traveling, so she might be having a little difficulty calling in. I saw her number, but now I don't. So we will. So once you get in, just press 1. Okay. So press 1 once you get in. Shania, if you want to get in and back her up, then you just press 1 and I'll put you on. Okay, so we're just going to talk about some resources today, and then we're going to talk about the education, college readiness, and motivation of education with our parents and our youth. Okay, and you know, it's graduation time, and you know, we all have someone that is graduating that we know, and we want to congratulate those that are graduating. They might be graduating from kindergarten, junior high school, or college, okay? So we want to shout out to them and wish them well, okay? Because we do want the best for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see what we have here. Okay, here we're going to put Shania on. Hello, Shania.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Aunt Kat.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm good. Yeah, we have Cheryl Benjamin coming on, and she's traveling right now. And I saw her on for a minute, and then I didn't see her, so she might be having a little technical difficulties. So, and like I said, we're going to be talking about education, college readiness, and resources and education motivation. How can we motivate the parents and the youth to know that that's very, very important for them to be able to take care of themselves and be, you know, just say, as soon as they come out the room, out the womb, you know, you have a plan for them. You have a plan for them to, you know, how are they going to get from A to Z with their education. I don't know what it is that we talk to our kids about, you know, when they come in the world, when they start to go to kindergarten and all of that, you know. So those are the things we're going to talk about. So the college readiness and education. Yeah. So I know you just graduated from Michigan State, and you're in your position now, and you had the opportunity to move away. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels great so far. It was honestly the best move for my career decision. So it's been great relocating from Michigan and seeing a new environment. And it's been a very, it's been a great decision that I made ultimately.
Okay. Great. And you are in Cleveland or Kentucky or Cincinnati?
I'm in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati. Okay, good deal. See, that's good. You're able to explore and move around. You don't have to stay in the same place. I tell kids all the time, you could go anywhere in this world that you want to go, you know, but you have to be equipped to be able to go, you know, so you can stand out and contribute wherever it is that you could go. But you have to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you say about being ready for, getting ready for college, being ready?
I would say it starts directly, like you were just saying, out of the womb. When they start kindergarten and when they start these first grade, second grades, that's where you start your, like, to teach your child love for education, because a lot of the learning and remembering that they're going to do is going to happen outside of school, really. The teachers, they're going to teach your child the basics and everything. But I actually learned from another one of my aunties, you know, always ask your child, okay, well, what did you learn today in school? And teach them something else that they may not have learned, or always stay on top of what they're learning in school and continue that outside of the classroom. I'm not saying that it needs to just be education all the time, but at least incorporate some type of other education into your child's curriculum that will expand their knowledge outside of what they're just learning. So that just begins that love of education and the importance also of them learning and expanding what they need to know for the world. So I think that really starts a strong foundation for a child. And then just, like, keep reminding them how important getting a high school diploma, getting a college degree is for them. So always be two steps ahead and telling your child, well, this, you know, this is something that you could be aiming for, and this is something that you can achieve. Always motivate them and tell them that they can do anything that they set their mind to. I know that my parents did a good job with that, just letting me know that I was capable of doing anything that I wanted to achieve. So always keep motivating them while they're in school. School can get frustrating if they're just, even if they're doing just their ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, it can get, you know, maybe overwhelming for a child. So it's always good to be there for them and to let them know that, hey, I'm here for you. And, you know, we can do this together whenever you have time, whenever the child has time for you all to work on it. So it shows that it's important when you're actively working on the schoolwork with the child. And then I would say getting up to high school, That's also a confusing time for a teenager. You know, they're growing, they're learning new things about themselves and the world, and they're just getting more open into the world. So you have to always remind them how important it is to stay in school, how important it is to be active in school, and the end goal is getting that high school diploma and also learning outside of the classroom as well, high school-wise. But it can be a very challenging time. I just graduated high school maybe 5 years ago, and I remember, you know, it's a lot, and it may not be a lot. You know, they may not have a lot of responsibilities, but in that time of their life and that extra push from the parent or guardian that is watching over them. And lastly, for college, I believe that college is really hard. I'm not even going to lie. It's going to be a mental challenge as well as a physical challenge in college. You know, you have to use a lot of brain power. It's going to be a lot of things thrown at the students in college. But, again, it all comes back to just supporting them. A degree can get you in places, a lot of different places. An education and degree can get you.
You said college is hard. Yeah, I'm not gonna sugarcoat
anything. It's pretty difficult to get a degree. You know, you have things like prerequisites to complete. So prerequisites are basically your entry level college courses. So that would be things like college algebra or college math. You have to take a writing class. So those are a bit easier, I would say. Those are when you first get into college, but it builds you up into your major courses, which would be, for example, I studied marketing. I didn't take a full marketing course until maybe my junior year of college, but my prerequisite helped me to build my knowledge up for my actual classes that I wanted to take for my major. So if anyone has questions on that, I can go back over that portion as well. But college, it's a strong fight, but it makes you so much stronger. And, you know, it feels so good when you complete a degree and you know that you worked so hard for it. And you just have to remember that, you know, it's imperative to have an education and a degree in this world. You know, you can always stay close to God during the whole process because it's going to be very tough. You should always be able to just talk to him when you're having trouble. You know, just pray for your journey and to have a successful college journey because it's a lot, but it's so rewarding in the end.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, you have to have, like Pastor always said, you have to have the secular education and your Christian education. And they go hand in hand because, like you say, you have to have a guide. And that's about, you know, having God guiding us and everything and all of our endeavors, even going to school. Yeah, keeping us safe and, you know, praying for your tests and things like that and safety, all of that. And, you know, it seems to work. It worked, you know, it's a benefit because you get to put that time in with your children and give them both, you know, instead of spending time at the courts or, you know. Which one would you rather have? Spending time at the courts or making sure your child can read, making sure that they're going to be able to go to the next level. So did you have a lot of help as far as resources to help you be able to complete your classes and things like that?
Yes, I personally did a lot of So I would strongly suggest to get connected with who you're around in your school, and that can be middle school or high school. It starts with you networking. The teachers are always going to be there for you to help or to help you. And if you have to ask questions, the teachers, they're there for that reason. They're there to support you, to guide you through this. Also having God by your side, like Aunt Kat was saying as well. So use those resources when you're maybe struggling in school or you're just kind of getting lost. But I would definitely say build a strong foundation, a professional network, a personal network. Those two are they're going to help you get through a lot of the academic trials, I should say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So what are some of the resources that that helped you to be able to get into college?
Yeah, so some of the resources that helped me get into college was my high school had an SAT class, and I'm pretty sure that it should be all around the board that students are taking the SAT instead of the ACT, but your high school should have a class that is solely based on you studying for the SAT. So I would really say take that class very, very seriously because that is one of your tickets into college, a lot of the colleges across America, and maybe even some international universities, I'm not sure though. But that is one resource. And also, I would say take those courses seriously, and a lot of your college advisor, you should also get one of those. Really have those one-on-ones with them and talk to them about your goals, your personal goals, and your professional goals with your college advisor as well.
All right. Okay. Ms. Shania, thank you. You could just stand by. Thank you for stepping in. I think that Cheryl, Ms. Benjamin, is on the line now, so we're going to tune her in. Thank you. Ms. Cheryl, Benjamin, hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear
I
me?
Can. Well, I hear you very well.
Okay, because we're in the desert, so I actually got cut off one time.
Okay, I thought I saw your number show up. So, yeah, we just kind of stood in for you. Yeah, so
okay.
We're just talking about education and being ready for college readiness, and just resources and education motivation for the student and the parent. How do we get them motivated to early to just know that education is important? It's the key to a lot of things in life. Uh-huh. What can you tell us and share with us? Can you hear me? Cheryl?
Okay. Car dropped. And she said she's in the desert, so. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll just wait till she come back on. Let me see who we have. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yes, I can. You ready?
Yep.
Did you hear what I... Uh-huh, yeah. So, like I said, we're talking about education and college readiness and resources. And just, you know, what can you share with us about all that?
So, most important is to pay attention. Submitting your FAFS FAFSA form for financial aid. When orientations are, when there's college days on campus where you can come up and it's especially geared for orientation. And then, you know,
You're breaking up. Okay. I think we lost her again. Okay. We will come back to you, Cheryl. Might have to wait till you get back on this side. Let's see. We will go to our resource person right quick. A.V., are you with us?
Hi. Yes, I'm with you.
Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Having a little technical difficulties with our guest speaker here. So we will try to get back to her in a few once she clears her path. Okay. So give us some good. You know, we always need information and resources and places that parents can get information to keep their kids busy and jobs and things like that. So you always have a wealth of information for us. So share with us.
Okay. Thank you for having me. So I got something. It's called Detroit at Work Scholarships. And what it does, it gives the kids different opportunities to find out what they're interested in, like if they want to learn to earn. It says get paid to learn a trade or skills for life, different things like that. So there's an opportunity with the city of Detroit, and it's their contact phone number, if you're interested, is 313-962-9675. And they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. And then you can also go on site and you can do a search, like in the city of Detroit, for scholarships. And it's called Detroit at Work Scholarship Program. And, you know, just click on the thing to see what you're interested in and see if maybe this is something that, you know, something that you may be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a lot of scholarship information right now because most of those scholarships, like, they're closed down. You know, they've already given out for the upcoming school year. But what I did want to do is there is still a bunch of opportunities, different things. So I didn't know if anybody was aware of the Gilbert Family Foundation. It's also helping tenants that have been displaced from their homes due to lack of access to legal services, eviction processes. So they have invested another $1 million to help people, you know, get with attorneys and things like that. And so they, let me see, let me pull that up. Hold on, I want to make sure I got the number for that. What's the number on that? Hold on a second, let me see if I can bring it back up. So you may know somebody that needs assistance, you know, if they had got evicted and they were not able to properly represent themselves. And I'm sorry, one moment, I'm trying to get back to that because I got so much stuff that is more about jobs a lot today. Let's see. Okay. So they didn't give the phone number. That's what happened. That's what I was looking at. So just go to the Gilbert Family Foundation, and then you'll see the announcement on there about the assistance. Okay. I'm just scrolling real quick to see if you had a phone number. Nope. So you'll go to their site, and then they'll have different links for you to access, for you to be able to get that information, to receive that information. And then we have a job, we have a couple jobs for people that are felony friendly. They have a press operator at Premier Staffing in Belleville, Michigan, and the rate of pay is $16 to $17 an hour. And then the next couple jobs are felon friendly also. It says an experienced press operator is needed ASAP at Madison Staffing in Canton, Michigan, And the rate of pay for that one is $16 to $16.76 an hour. And then they need a clerical person, and this is also felon friendly, for the Michigan Employment Agency in Southfield, and the rate of pay is from $15 to $21 an hour. And then I'm gonna mention the one that you sent to me, Kat, about the FAA job. So, Kat is sending me some information about the FAA will be hiring air traffic controllers. The applications are going to be taken from June 24th to the 27th. So, if you are age 18 to 30, they are giving. You can go out to the FAA.gov/BE-AT. For the application process, and the salary range is $103,000 to $164,000, and this is paid training. So if you go to the FAA page, it'll open up to the job information of the application process, and you can put that information in. And let's see. Also, the ride, they're hiring. They're looking for staff. You can go to their site, to their homepage, the ride, and it will give you the different jobs that they have open. And I think I have one more job to give you. I apologize. I'm all over the place today.
That's okay.
That's fine. Okay. Here it is. In the City of Detroit General Service Department is also hiring a vehicle operator level 1. The position starts at $17.25 an hour. The minimum requirements is a CDL Class B required. And then it says, to apply, you just go to DetroitMI.gov/jobs. And again, that's DetroitMI.gov/jobs. Just put in for that job. And when you go out to the City of Detroit, too, you'll see they'll have a big board. They're listing all their jobs. They have a lot of jobs, and then a lot of companies that are based in Detroit, they post their job openings also. And then also as a reminder, the post office is also hiring. And remember, those are federal jobs. So always go to their site. And, I did have one more. I'm sorry. It's called a rail carman in New Boston, Michigan. They're looking for people, and if you go to a rail car, let me pull up that information, and that's going to be working with the railroad, and it's called Carman Medical Mechanical crew member that they're looking for, and I have a number for them. Their number is 804-874-2982. Let me repeat that. 804-874-2982, and they're located on Sibley Road in New Boston, Michigan. And they're offering hands-on training, and it's an entry-level position. All righty, that's all I have for you today. If anybody has any questions, please just let me know.
Okay, thank you, AB. Good information. Yeah, I like that. The aviation one that.
That's a great opportunity. Great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was sent that by
Miss I'll remember in a minute. And yeah, she's always sending me some good information, and you know, that's something that our kids would probably never even think about, you know. So
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be posting, and I also will be posting, sending the stuff over to be posted on the site. And then also, always go to the site, and then if you look, I'm going to start having to post on both of them, on the regular one with the scholarships, and then the other one, that other site that we have, the jail, the job. We always post also, like, Forgotten Harvest, the Gleaners Food Bank, and, like, their food schedules. And they're basically kind of almost the same every week. So there is opportunity if you know someone that needs food, especially in today's economic time. If food is so expensive, so every little bit helps. So that information will be, that information is posted, will be posted out there also.
Great. Yeah, some people, you know, are in need. Gas prices got high, so yeah. We need all of those resources. And so, Jacqueline, yeah, thank you, Jacqueline, for sending us that information about the FAA. And so, yeah, hire air traffic controllers.
Mm-hmm.
And learn how to fly airplanes. You know, making over $100,000 a year. So, yeah, those are some of the things that we should gear our kids to look into. That's a great opportunity, because when we fly, we want to see, you know, some of our kids in the friendly skies taking us to our destination. So that's a good thing. If you need more information about that, let's see. What does it say? Go to www.faa.gov/BE-ATC. And it's a paid trainer. Salary range from 103 to 164K, paid training and school. Wow. They're going to pay you to go to school. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, AB.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, so I think that we lost Cheryl, and so Shania is going to come back on and continue on with the education part. Then we'll have our good old Pastor O come on and do his thing, and then we'll, you know. Oh, if you want to shout out, you know, your graduate and give them some well wishes, then you can do that. Just press 1 and I will open your mic and you can do so. Okay, Shania, you still with us?
Hi, yes I am.
Okay. All right. So Cheryl was, I think she was talking about the financial aid part of it. And I know you were telling me that they had the Michigan Advantage program. Is that something you could share with us as far as a way to pay for college?
Oh, yeah. So,
Oh, no. Michigan's a Spartan. Oh, wait. The Spartan Advantage, I got it now, okay.
Yes, of course. So, yeah, to just backtrack a little bit to explain the Spartan Advantage, what Cheryl was talking about before she was disconnected, she was talking about the first thing that you have to do when applying to universities, and this is any university in America, you have to fill out your FAFSA form, which is your Federal Financial Aid. That is going to get you your key to any type of financial aid that any university in America has to offer for you. That is going to be based on a couple of factors, such as your dependency, your family income, or if you're not a dependent, your personal income and things like that. But that leads me into the program that I was in called the Spartan Advantage at Michigan State University. And the Spartan Advantage paid for my schooling for 4 years. It pays for room and board as well. So room and board is just basically to live on campus in the dorms. And that's also for your meal plan as well. So you get to eat on campus while living on campus. And the Spartan Advantage covered that for 4 years, which is about, it has to be consecutive semesters, meaning that you have to do this all in one go around, basically. You can't kind of take a break in the middle. But to get something like Spartan Advantage, you have to apply for federal aid through the FAFSA, and then they will automatically apply it to you. The Michigan State specifically is going to let you know, hey, you qualify for the Spartan Advantage. Would you like to accept it? And then, you know, would you like to accept your acceptance into the school specifically as well? So you have to do that first, and then you can accept the Spartan Advantage. And something that they didn't tell me about with the Spartan Advantage specifically is that in between you may have to take out some student loans. So this wasn't told to me in the fine print, but I'm glad that I know it now so I can let you all know that it may be covered about 90%. So, for example, it costs around upwards of maybe $25,000 to go to Michigan State for 1 year. I may be wrong on that. I'll have to look it up for you all. But you'll have to take out small loans in between while on Spartan Advantage, or you can go the route that I went, and I just paid out of pocket. So I worked a summer job, and I just paid my bill that I had, which was a couple hundred dollars. I would just save my money from working over summer and then pay that. Or you can go the route of taking out a small student loan, which it may be frowned upon, but it's okay because school is expensive. And, you know, so if you have to take out a loan, then, you know, that's okay. So I did, I didn't take out any loans with Michigan State, but I took out some loans with my other school. And I also had a lot of family help as well. They helped me pay for my bill at Michigan State, and that was, you know, I was very fortunate for that, and that they helped me pay that, and I didn't have to take out any student loans. But those are going to be your two options with the Spartan Advantage program. So just wanted to let you all know that because it wasn't directly told to me. And then there's also there's a program like this in a couple of other schools as well, such as Central Michigan University. It's just Central, if you're familiar with that school, as well as Michigan, the University of Michigan. So those are a couple other federal-based scholarships that you can get from those schools as well.
Okay. Okay, so they have to apply for federal aid first, and then the school will get in contact you after they find out that you did apply for federal aid first.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. So basically, you're going to apply to federal aid. You're going to apply to the schools that you want to apply to, and then once you are accepted, they're going to let you know, okay, you apply or you qualify for a Pell Grant or Federal Work Study, which is basically you work for the university, and some of your paycheck goes towards tuition, and then some of that paycheck goes in your pocket as well. So the most important thing is that you're applying for your federal aid through FAFSA.
And so, like you said, you only had a couple of hundred dollars that you had to be responsible for. So they kept their promise and saw you through.
Yes, so I had just a couple of hundred to pay here and there, and my family, they helped me pay that. So I didn't have to take out the loans, but I have some friends that took out the loans, and those loans are going to be subsidized and unsubsidized. So that mm-hmm. means that one of the loans are going to be, the interest is going to be covered by the government, and then your other loan, which is unsubsidized, this may be wrong. I'm not sure. I'll look it up for you all really quickly. But that means that the interest is going to be paid by you. So those are just the two types of student loans that you can take out. And or you can get family help like I did and just pay that small balance off. But taking out student loans, it's okay too. I know that, like I said, it may be frowned upon, but school can get very expensive, and it's okay if you have to take out a couple of loans, especially if you're on a very big scholarship like this one, that they're covering about 90% of it, and you just have to take out a little bit of student loans, and that's okay too.
Okay, great. Yeah, it is expensive. Okay, so, wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Kit. Okay, I have a lot of kids invading me right now. Okay. All right. You know how that goes, Shania. Okay, so what about the motivation? How can we motivate the youth and the parents about education and know that it's important for their future early?
I would say early on is to just remember that a degree and, really having that degree and a very strong network is going to get you in a lot of places, as well as always keeping your faith in God and knowing that things are going to turn out the way that they should. A degree just being at Michigan State by itself has put me in so many places, and I've met so many people that have helped me, and I've made a lot of connections. And so that is going to really help your child when they grow up, I should say. I'm trying to get the way to word this, but it really starts off with the parent or the guardian motivating that child and making sure that they know that education is so important, especially for the Black community, especially for Black men, Black women. It's something that we should be valuing a lot more instead of, like Akat was saying, you know, we have to really choose our battles wisely. You don't want to be sitting in a courtroom. You would rather be sitting at a graduation. So remember to always just let them know, let your child know that they could do anything that they set their mind to, and that education may be rough in the middle, but with your faith in God and faith in yourself as well, they can get it done. And they can do anything that they set their mind to, like I was saying. As far as motivating them at a very young age, like I was saying a little bit earlier, is to make sure that you're involved with their studies. Once they see that it's important to you, it's going to be important to them as well. They see that, oh, well, hey, you know, my mom or my aunt is helping me study. So, you know, this is a fun thing to do. This is a bonding time with them instead of just coming home from school and getting on the video game. Immediately, maybe you can just do one more paper of ABCs or your multiplication table. So making sure that they're always educating themselves outside of the classroom. And then as far as middle school and high school, those are, like I said, those tough years that they may be a bit confused. There's a lot coming at them at once, but make sure you listen to them. And that they know that they are able to accomplish those things. And I would also say to surround them with some pretty positive images as well. when they see things like someone graduating from college that look like them, or someone that got a degree or got this this position that they may be interested in, show them those positive images and say that, you know, that can be you one day. You know, with education, it's possible. And with that strong network as well, it's possible to do those things. So having that strong influence in front of them, I've had a lot of strong men and women in my life that really help motivate me to become successful in the future. My aunties, my uncles, my mom, and my dad, they just always, I've always looked up to all of them. And it's been such a positive influence for me. So that's something that I was influenced by. But so I would say to wrap it up as far as motivating them is, number one, always encouraging them and letting them know that how important education is and how a degree can get them in places that maybe someone without a degree may not be able to. Secondly, is to be involved in their lives. It means a lot to them to see you standing, you know, in a basketball game crowd or at their eighth grade graduation into high school or something like that. So always be there for them and encourage them and let them know that you're always there for them. And lastly, I forgot my last point, but that's what it was. Lastly, number three is to show them those positive images and surround themselves with like-minded people. One thing that I did was I'm always surrounding myself with people who are smarter than me because I can always learn something from them. They can learn something from me, but I always have that positive image in front of me to look up to and to show me some type of end goal. And fourth is to just always have your connection with God and to always have your faith. Take him everywhere that you go. Like I said, school can be so hard, but with him and with your support system, anything is possible.
Okay, great. I think it just should be like a rally going on so that everybody can hear it, okay? Like it's like something that needs to be done all the time to reintegrate that education is important, you know, just have it on their minds. Because it just seems like it's not on our minds at all. And it seemed like some kind of rally or support group, something like that, needs to happen, you know, just like worldwide. We're talking about it just like loudly, you know, just to bring about the awareness that they need to have the support. They need to have it, and they need to have it early, and they need to spend some time and, you know, it, like I said, it don't have to be our own children. Like you said, you have support. You need other support members, other family. It don't matter if you know the kids or the youth or not, or the family, if you see that they need help, or you just see kids in general. Every day, have something to say to the youth that's positive, that's inspiring, and that will motivate them to want to do something. Just ask them what you're going to be when you grow up. You know, how are your grades in school? Let them know that we're interested in them being great and being good in school and being able to grow up and be a good, productive professional, whatever it is that they're going to do. Yeah, a lot of the kids, they say they want to be a rapper. They want to play basketball, be a professional basketball player. And we know that everybody is not going to get those positions. So one kid was saying they wanted to be a rapper. So you need to know how to write and spell and be creative with words to even be that. And then the songs that they're creating now, they're not going to even hear those songs later, like the songs that we grew up on. We're still hearing those same songs, you know, the Jacksons and Jackson 5, families like that. We're still hearing all those songs, even the babies that weren't even born know those songs. So those, a lot of those rap songs and things, they are just, it's like an end to them, and it's how far can you go with that? You know, we could encourage them to do something different than be a rapper or a sports player. They could do it, but do something else, have something else in mind. You know, so that we won't kill their dreams. Well, okay, that's okay, but what else you gonna do? What else can you do? So, yeah. Is there anybody want to ask some questions, inquire? Shania, if you want to ask any questions, you can feel free to press 1. And you can do that at this time. But, yes. So resources. Resources. I think that we should be a lot of the resources as far as getting them the information that they need. So, well, can you go to the library and get a lot of that information, Shania? How can we go about getting the resources and information about the things that we need to encourage our kids and for different educational endeavors?
Yeah, actually, you can go to the library. My one source would be MichiganAid.gov. So that'll be a resource to find some Michigan scholarships for students who solely want to go to school maybe in Michigan, or they're coming from a Michigan high school. I would say the library, they also have a couple of SAT books that you can check out that you can practice on, and they have computers also for you to look at the college website. So some of the things that you should be looking for in a college website when you go to it are going to be how much is the in-state tuition, how much is out-of-state tuition. So, for example, if you want to go to a school in Florida, you have to look at an out-of-state cost because you will be relocating from Michigan to Florida or from any other state. And then another thing, you can go to the library and maybe look up a book or a website, how to complete the FAFSA. So that would be Federal Financial Aid. And then you could also look up things like what test score that you need to get into the school, or what GPA that you need to get into the school. So those are some things that you should be looking up in your college search process as well. Those are some things you can look up online. And then another resource, I would say, I'm just looking at it now. Oh, yeah. Just to remember the unsubsidized loans and the subsidized loans, and also you should be looking up Parent Plus loans if that's an option for you, and remember things like the deferment period. So deferment period means that you have a certain amount of time after you graduate until you have to pay back your student loans, not the full amount, but that could be kind of like a payment plan you're starting. So that's something that you can tap into when going to the library and looking at these college resources. And then also some scholarship websites would be like FastWeb. I know that they've had some scholarships. Or if you just kind of look up scholarships or like scholarships near me in Google, then an abundance of resources are going to come your way when you look that type of stuff up.
Okay. Got a caller. Got a question?
Well, yeah, a question and a statement. Shania might be able to weigh in on this as well. So something I don't know that has been raised before that I'm becoming more and more familiar with as a college professor. Many high schools have entered into agreements with colleges, and they have these programs. Sometimes they're referred to as dual enrollment or early middle college. And basically what they are is they allow high schoolers to earn college credits to the point that, depending on the school and the program, when the student graduates with their diploma from high school, they also have earned an associate's level degree from whichever college the high school has interfaced with. And I know more and more high schools are doing this. So I guess what I'd like to say is, what do you know about that, Shania? And then also, I'm thinking for those parents who are out there listening, if the high school that your child is attending does not have a program like this, probably going to school board meetings and trying to understand why they don't is a good idea, because they don't, I mean, this is a 2-year degree and you're not owing any money. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that on the table. But had you heard about that? Was that an option at your high school, Shania?
Yes, I have heard about dual enrollment. I personally did not do dual enrollment because there's two factors to it. One factor is that, like you're saying, it's amazing that someone can get the associate's degree coming out of high school. But then the other factor is why I didn't do it was because some of the colleges that I was looking at, they may be a little bit strict on where your credits are coming from. So, for example, sometimes the colleges may not transfer those credits that you worked on in high school into their college, or they may be very strict on what they accept and don't accept. So that's another thing that you may want to look at if you're doing dual enrollment is look further ahead and think, okay, well, what college would I think about going to while I'm in dual enrollment, and are they going to accept my credits that I'm taking right now for my associate's degree? But I feel like it's a great program to kind of get the student rolling into a collegiate level course it's kind of a nice transition from a high school course into a college level course and the work level that they're doing. But I would strongly advise to look into the college that you're looking at and see if they accept those credits that you're taking at the dual enrollment.
That's an excellent point. And usually the colleges that work these programs out, they may be a community college. Some of them are four-year colleges, and part of what it's understood, if it's a four-year college, for example, one of the college institutions I teach at is Baker College, and they do offer it in some high schools. And so it's not an issue if a student, for example, is going to finish high school, dual enrollment, have the associates, and then they plan to work on a bachelor's at Baker College, because they will, you know, it's the same institution. But that is an excellent point that you raised. And again, if a student, for example, if they're not really planning on going to college, or they're, hey, I wouldn't mind having an associate's, is, you know, what's the harm? To me, it's, my grandmother used to always say, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So if it's available, there isn't anything necessarily that you, and I shouldn't say that it's not something extra you would do. You do have to, you are in high school taking college level courses, and so the rigor of your workload is going to be higher, but I don't personally think that's a bad thing. I think the sooner that students can become more disciplined in their study habits, the better it's going to be, whether they plan on going to a four-year institution and get a bachelor's level degree, or if they're just going, planning on working or being an apprentice or going to a trade school. The sooner you can get that concept of discipline in you, and studying and writing your papers and learning to think critically, the sooner you can get that into a kid, I think the better off that kid's going to be as they're growing into an adulthood. So, yeah, I just thought about that, and I realized I didn't think we had even talked about that before on the show. So I'm done. I just wanted to toss it out there.
Thank you, Sister Rogers. Always the A-star. Okay, we got 6503.
Yes, hi, Kat. This is Jackie.
Hi.
Hi, congratulations to the young lady. From my understanding regarding the dual enrollment, once you come out with a associate's degree, that is automatically 60 credits that follow you anywhere. But if you have where some of the schools you have credits and you don't have a full degree. That's when a lot of schools don't accept that, and it's hard on the student. But one of the main things that we have to understand as parents, the contract that the schools have with these community colleges, if your child does not pass that course, the parents have to pay, reimburse that. What I'm saying is that before you decide on having your child to go into dual enrollment, they need family support. They need to know the family needs to know that this child is on point, because what happens is, you know, with teenagers, they're going to say, you don't want me to have fun. But yet and still, you're looking towards their future. So you mm-hmm. have to kind of be a hands-on, making sure those assignments are in, making sure that child is in compliance, because even above, I think the young lady prior to me said, even above the rigorous classes, assignments that they have in high school, that is an added stress on them. It is a wonderful thing. I think that it's beautiful when your child already has 2 years locked in, and that's free money, because all you have to do is have that will and drive in order to do it. But sometimes our children need that little extra push, like, you can do it. Let's get this done. Let's make it a priority. So that's what I'm saying, is that you just can't put them in the class and just let them go on their own. You have to kind of lock in on them and kind of monitor them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Shania.
Okay, thank you.
You still there, Shania?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jackie and June. Thanks so much. Go ahead, Shania. Yeah.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of that, I completely agree. Having that experience and getting that work ethic of a college-level course is just a great thing for a student. And I think that is also a good motivation factor for a high school student to segue into college, doing that dual enrollment. So, yeah, just to piggyback off of that really quickly, I really like that point right there to make sure that their work ethic is, like, very disciplined and that they're ready to take on those. So, for example, I took AP level courses in high school, and that prepared me for kind of like my college courses when I got to college. But just to restate again, to make sure that the classes that you're taking are aligning with the four-year universities that I was personally talking about. The woman, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't remember your name, but you were saying that, you know, it may align with a four-year college or a community college, so make sure that that is known well ahead of time, that you may be wanting to go to a different university, so that there's no discrepancies in the middle of it. But I really did love the idea of the dual enrollment back when I was in high school, but I didn't do it. But yeah, to piggyback off of those two statements as well, to really just be involved with your child's education and their classes. If they need help on an assignment and maybe you can't figure it out, there's always someone maybe in school that you could talk to. Set up parent meetings. That's imperative to do with the teachers and parents, to get on that one-on-one basis, not just during the teacher and parent meeting, I think it's called, when they have that all school-wide thing. But have those one-on-ones with your teacher or with the student's teacher to see how they're doing, or if there's anything that they can improve on. Always be actively involved, so you won't have to be reactive. Be proactive about what they're doing in school, so there isn't a way that you have to be reactive after the fact and after they have to play catch-up before graduation.
Great. Thank you, Shania. Thank you, June, and thank you, Jackie, for your input. Very informal, informational. Okay, well, thank you, Shania. Did you want to wrap up? Let me see. Something else. Well, yeah, like I said, family support is very, very important. I'm going to say something about that. Hands-on, like Jackie said, being hands-on, family support. Yeah, I mean, like you said, family support is important, and a kid wants to know that that you care about what they're doing. Like, even with the kids that I try to motivate and support on my block, I can see a lot of, just a lot that they need. They need a whole lot, you know, just the basic reading, writing, spelling, all of that, math. They need the basics. It's a lot of things that they don't even know that they should know at this time in their learning. So those are the kind of things that, you know, I want to work on. To get them back up to speed and let them know that, you know, let them know that, you know, this is not the end of where you're going. It's just not all play, you know, and these things are important that you're supposed to be learning so that you can move to the next level. And just putting in their heads that, you know, you need a career, you need to know what you're going to do with yourself. So what are you good at? You know, maybe having a career fair, so that they can know that, you know, we need police officers, we need doctors, we need lawyers, we need nurses. So they don't think that that's what they're supposed to be doing. And I'm like, wow, this is like, it blows my mind to know that they don't know that these jobs are for them too, that they can be a nurse, that they can be a doctor, they can be a professional, and that they have to work and do, you know, get good grades and do what they're supposed to do so that they can get to that level. They have no kind of clue to where they're going, none. And they're supposed to be knowing something by now. So it's a lot of work to be done. These are not the only kids. It's kids in your community, in your neighborhood, on your block that's lacking. And the only way we're going to know is if we talk to them, if we give them some conversation. You know, and find out what their needs are. That's the only way we're going to know. If you sit and just have them read to you and see how they can read. And then give them some books if they're having problems reading. Help them read. Help them do some math. You know, pay for them to get a tutor. I know AB was saying they had some math classes going on at Wayne State, kids math for the summer. Enroll them in some of those classes. Let them know that they're cared for and we expect them to do well. Someone else told me about some swimming lessons that kids can take. I think they started 5 years old out at the Romulus High School. They're giving swimming lessons. Our kids should know how to swim. You know, they could be lifeguards when they get, you know, to a certain age, and that'll be their summer job. So our kids should know how to swim. So check that out. It's at Romulus High School in Romulus. You have a person there that's teaching kids how to swim, and they have swim meets and everything. We have to get our kids involved and so that they can be a part of life in a positive way, okay? That's a good way to keep them busy. Karate classes, you know, help them get some work. Buy them a lawnmower, help them, you know, so they can cut the grass and care about where they live and their surroundings and how their yard look and neighborhood look, okay? I can't get rid of these kids. They're out here making faces at me. Around me. I can't get rid of them, but, you know, at least they're not, you know, they're trying to do something. Okay. So, yeah, it's up to us to try to help the kids where we are, the ones that we see around us and the ones that come in our mix. It's so important. It's just giving back. It's just reaching back, pulling them up, you know, giving the next generation what we have and better. Okay? It's all about sharing and just some love. It's just down home, good old love that we're giving these kids that they deserve and that they should have. Okay? So that's it. And that's all. Pastor, you around town anywhere? Let's see. I got some good old words of wisdom to hand over to us. And, you know, instead of lining them up at the courthouse where the judge is going to wrangle all over their life and, you know, take them down there and let them see how they're being wrangled over and people making decisions for their little lives to, instead of them making decisions for themselves, for good, positive decisions. God gave them their life, and they should be able to make good decisions and know that their life is important and not to have court and all that wrangling over their life and what making decisions for their life, okay? We need to let them know what the prison system is about, the jail system. We're going to talk about that, I think, the prison system next week or the week after that. Coming up, we're going to have some people that's, running the, that's involved in the prison system. And just to give us some information as far as, you know, what that is all about, you know, the business part of it and all of that. And, I had some young folks that I talked to about it, you know, from when they were little. And, but I guess they just had to see for themselves. And so now everything that I share with them, they're telling me now, you know, they're telling, well, you know, that's the business and you got to pay for everything in there and all that, you know. So, okay, didn't you hear me tell you that years ago? You know, so our kids need to know what's ahead of them and what, you know, what that's all about so that they know not to ever, ever go there. Okay.
Hi, Pastor. Yes, indeed. Oh, do I have this on? Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. Everything, again, was good. Today was awesome. Shania, you know, college is tough. Not going to sugarcoat it too much. It's tough, so expect that. Keep God in front. And what I heard coming back is what God wants from us in regards to children. Train up a child in the way they should go. That's one. And, of course, Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 4, or in those about 4, 6, or 7 verses, is how often and how intentional we have to be about training them up. And of course, in the New Testament, Jesus tells us through Peter not to exasperate them. And the same thing through Ephesians, through Paul's pen, is to be involved with them. And that is the whole purpose of a parent. And not just a parent. It is the whole purpose of everybody who's around that child, everybody who can lend a helping hand. We always say it takes a village, but nobody lives in the village. Or nobody will answer the door when you come to them in the village. But it really does take a village, because when I was coming up, you could learn lessons all up and down the street from people who weren't your parents, and you could get whoopings from people all up and down the street and get another whooping when you get home. So discipline was plenty, but the training was also plenty. My father taught me how to be an auto mechanic. My uncle taught me how to work on lawnmowers. So, you know, all of this support was there. You know what I mean? It's there. And what I kept hearing was support, support, support. The lady who came on, I forgot her name, but she talked about when they were talking about degrees, going to school and getting your associate's degree, is support. She, Shania said it. She said it. support is so important, and all through the Bible, that's what God talks about, support. And it doesn't stop when they get old enough to talk. That's when it starts. It starts as soon as they're born, and it goes until they can stand up on their own 2 feet. And that might not be 18. That might not be 21. But that support needs to be there until they can support themselves. And if we do that, you know, with every child, not everybody's going to go to college. Some folks have, you know, I thank God for the people who come by here every Friday and get my garbage. I have this big old can, I fill it up, I push it to the front yard, they come by in a truck, pick it up, take it away. What would we do without them? So,
right.
And you know, there are jobs now that's on our church website. You go to our church website, rfcm.org, you click on Christian Resource, and it is filled up with jobs for everybody. And they're not cheap jobs. There are jobs on there paying $38 an hour, and they can't find enough people. And, you know, even though some of the postings had a date on them, but the people said, keep it here because we still haven't filled our quota. So we should support any way we can and every way we can. We can change this. The way our world is going today, especially with our children, we can change this. All we have to do is stop leaving them alone so we can go make money for them to have the things they want, but get involved in their lives. Be there. I had this song by this guy named Jason, that's what I call him. Anyway, it really like got to me. The song is called Parent Me. And in one of the last verses, one of the last parts of the song, he says, I see you doing your work in church, and I know you love the Lord, but the gospel is not preached in our house. And should the church take my parents from me? In other words, they were working in the church so much, they were neglecting their own family. And so support seems to be the theme here. And it's the same thing that God wants. He wants us to be intentional about our preparation and pay attention to them. I can't tell you how many parents wasted money sending their kids off to school when they should have went off to trade school. You know your children. You know if you're sending them to college or if they want to go. If you're sending them, you're probably going to get them there because Shania told you it's true. Okay, 5 years out of high school, it's tough. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a brain drain. That is nothing like, I remember my wife talking about the difference between high school and when she went to school, okay, and the things that you have to do. College algebra, you know what I'm saying? Writing. And you have to pass these classes to get to the next step. You just can't, or you'll be in college like, a really, really long time. You'll become a professional student and never really graduate. But, you know, with support and what she said about the Lord, having him to go to when there's nobody else around, when only he understands what you're going through, because he knows us better than we know ourselves, right? So he understands exactly why we are feeling and how what we need to do to handle what we're going through. And so you really need both these things together because God don't need all his people up in church trying to be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or something like that. He needs people to become leaders of industry, leaders in this world, so that they can promote Christianity wherever they are, so they can make an inroad for him there. That's what he means by subdue the earth. He doesn't just mean go somewhere, buy a house, and now we got a Christian over here in this area. What he means, everywhere you go, subdue it. Bring it under his control. promote his values on the job. I mean, listen to this. It's a lot of people don't believe God is involved outside the church. Oh, yes, he is. Listen to what he wrote real quick before. I ain't going to preach, but listen to what he wrote real quick. It's coming from Colossians chapter 3. This is how involved God is outside the church. He says, slaves, or employees, if you don't like that word, obey your earthly employers. Here it says masters, in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what's wrong, you'll be paid back for what's wrong, for the wrong you've done, for God has no favors. So here the Lord is literally telling us how to behave when we go to work. So that means he wants me to get a job. He wants me to get an education. He wants me in that company, and this is the way he wants me there. An example of that is Joseph. In Potiphar's house. He ran it so well, he got promoted to right under Potiphar until his wife accused him of rape because he wouldn't sleep with her, so he went to jail for 13 years. But when he got to the jail, the Lord was still with him. He recognized that, and so he became the underwarden in the jail. Okay, now he's running the jail. Okay, and he's running it as if he works at a good job that he wants, even though he hates being there because he's there for rape. But he don't let that bother him. He works like he's working for the Lord. And he's not just working when the people are watching him, but he's working because Jesus is watching him. So he's busy the whole 8 hours he's there because he's working to please the Lord. And if he pleases the Lord, he's definitely going to please these people. And that was Joseph. So Joseph gets out of jail after 13 years, then he's running Egypt. Now he's running a whole country, and he's running it according to the plan, the financial plan. God gave him a secular financial plan to run Egypt. 7 good years, save up all you can. 7 bad years, sell all you saved up and make big money. And that's exactly what he did. So God, if he can take Joseph and put him in those slimy pagan place like Egypt and make him prime minister of Egypt, how much more will he do for you? See, Egypt was totally secular, but God put his man in there. God did the same thing with Esther and that old slimy media Persian empire under the old crazy Xerxes, fell in love with her, married her. Now, she running the Medo-Persian Empire, a male-dominated empire, yet it's living and surviving and thriving off of her word. Her uncle becomes prime minister right under Xerxes. Esther is queen. So God wants men and women to go into these secular places. Now, Esther was queen, so she was paid. Mordecai was prime minister. He was paid. Joseph was prime minister. He was paid. So don't worry about God getting you paid. He's going to get you paid. That'll come with, but you have to work the way he wants you to work so he can take you to the top. People in these world and these companies are greedier than greedy. Okay, right now they are profiting through the roof, and they know it. Okay, oil companies are raking in billions in profits. People are kind of suffering. So when here you come, okay, and you work like Jesus is telling you to work here, and you got the education, and you're intentional about what you do, well, they raise you up. I got 7 raises in 1 year because the owner didn't want me to leave. And I kept pretending like I was going to leave, and he kept saying, didn't I tell you you was getting a raise? And so I got, this is no lie. I would not lie in front of God. I got 7 raises in 1 year. This is what the Lord will do for you. Tony Evans, Dr. Tony Evans, we all know him, we should. Anyway, he was working, before he became who he is today, he worked in a bus station, and they unloaded and loaded the luggage on the bus. And he got put on the night shift because he was going to school through the daytime, so it worked out for him. Now, what was happening is most of the folks on the night shift was all sleeping and taking turns and not getting much accomplished, but it left him to do all the work. And so he did all the work. Of course, the other folks didn't like him doing all the work because it made them look bad, but they let him do it, and he kept doing it. All of a sudden, the bosses showed up, and they started calling everybody in, and they called him in, and they said, we know what's been going on here at night and how people have been, and this person worked a little bit, and these people over here sleeping, you doing the lion's share of the work. He said, yeah, but, and the man said, well, I want to let you know, we're going to make you the supervisor. So all of those people who were hating on him because he was working like it says right here in Colossians, the Lord promoted him to supervisor. See, when you do what the Lord tells you, you got that education, right, secular, and you got this education, spiritual, and you put them two together, God will take you places. God will take you places. But like Shania kept saying, it's hard, it's tough, it's rough. They're going to be drawing on your brain. They're going to be straining that brain. Parents, people, brothers and sisters, we need the support. Since we've heard what they're going through, they need that support. We can't just want people to get better. We have, like I heard Kathy say, I do what I can for the people on my block. And you've heard her. See, she ain't no hypocrite. She ain't on here preaching this stuff, and they ain't doing it. And she will tell you it ain't easy. Okay? But the goal is to help these kids. And yes, we might have to suffer. Yes, we might have to stretch. And yes, we might have to say, Jesus, you sure these kids are not animals? But anyway, we keep doing what God wants us to do to help them be prepared. How many people are you thankful for what they did in your life when you were younger before you became who you are now?
Mm-hmm.
I think back to all them teachers who kept telling me, you can be anything you want. I looked at them like they was crazy. And then I figured it out. You can do anything you want to do. You want to do. And so, everything was good today. And we should get behind these children to support them in any way we can. Any way God gives us to help, that's the way we help, no matter what it is, whatever it is. Like I heard you say, if they need this, can't have this for school, for pushing themselves forward, then we pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we take that on. Take on whatever you can do, do that. I'll close with this. There were some folks over in Macedonia, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and Paul was taking up a collection for the church in Jerusalem, which had suffered from a famine and then suffered from the persecution he began and continued after he became a Christian, okay? So he's collecting money to help these folks out. So he goes to this church in Macedonia, but the Macedonians are poor. They're poor, okay? But guess what? I think the Bible will say it better itself, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And you know, listen, Paul says here in verse 3 real quick, for I can testify. Oh, well, let me go back to the beginning. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. Though they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they're also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. And that's what God wants us to do. See, these Macedonians, as the Bible, the inspired word of God says, they were very poor and going through many troubles. But you see what they did? Okay, and Paul is talking to the Corinthian church to be like the Macedonian church. The Corinthian church is a seaport town. They paid in full. All kinds of people come through there. It's like Vegas. Okay, or any other place where people love to go and just fill it up. That's Corinth. They got plenty of money. But the Macedonians, he's using the poor people to inspire the rich people. So let's be Macedonia. Even though we may not have what we need, we can't pay your whole tuition. We can't do this, we can't do that, but we do have this. And a little bit from a whole lot of people put together becomes a whole lot. But you have to be willing to get involved. So I was inspired with Shania and with the other callers and the ones who talked about support. We can't just say we're going to support our youth. We really going to have to do it. And don't say you can't. Just look around and see what you can do and do that. And guess what? God counts a tithe of $2 as much as he counts a tithe of $1 million because they both gave 10% of what they have. So they both get the full blessing. I'll keep on preaching. You better cut me off. I feel.
It's real. It's always good. We want to keep listening. It's always good. I know you were saying that your dad gave you, the important thing he gave you is those work ethics. So that's important to, you know, to.
And a lot of education.
Mm-hmm.
He educated us in almost everything you could think of. He slipped it in, mm-hmm. and we didn't know it, but
mm-hmm.
he educated us a lot. I mean, we didn't notice it until we were grown and when we discovered how much we knew. And
wow.
then we figured out he did all that stuff. He knew some of us were scholastic and some not. But he
mm-hmm.
got everybody to go to the nth degree. Do what you do and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
That was his thing. Do what you do and do it well. And I used to love to halfway do everything. But he didn't play that.
I don't believe it.
He didn't play that. He was like, and if you get mad and ask him why, first he'll tell you so you can take care of yourself when you get a little older. So you can learn how to do. First, it was learn how to do something. Second,
mm-hmm.
it was learn how to take care of yourself. And then thirdly, when we were 16, 17, 18, and you get mad and say, why we have to do this, he says, so you'll be able to know how to do something so you can earn a living for yourself and help take care of your mother when I leave here.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he left before she did. And we
mm-hmm.
all did exactly what he said. We just worried my mother almost till she left here. She told me one time, will you please tell your brothers and sisters to stop coming over here and getting me and taking me out every day because they didn't want her to be alone. My brother Richard thought she needed air, so he got her central air. She hate air. You know, I used to have to go over there and turn the heat up. But, you know, she didn't have to do anything. After he left, we took care of everything for her. But he had raised us intentionally to do that. So wherever you can help, take Shania's and the other callers' advice and be that support, because we've heard it from somebody who's been through it, and they told us it's tough. They told us keep God in front, and they told us support is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Just that little push. okay? If you can just give that one little talk that makes them go mm-hmm. all the way. When they get on mm-hmm. that stage and they're giving that speech, they're going to mention you.
That's right.
I'll keep preaching. Yeah. You, baby, only going to say, mm-hmm,
yes.
Better stop it.
Yeah, the lady's going to be coming on in a minute, about 10 seconds. So.
All right.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, Pastor. Oh, yeah, awesome. Awesome. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, work ethic. Do it well. That's what I was going to say. Thanks, Shania. Thanks, Jackie, June, everybody that participated, all the callers. Thanks, Amber. Congratulations to all the graduates. You guys do just keep on going. Let's see. Next week, I think we're going to either do the prison and have a lady, an educator that wants to come on and talk about education, and she's changing her profession to counseling because she says that these kids are traumatized and, they're going through a lot that they went through during the pandemic. And most of them just need somebody to care about them and just listen and to get to know who they are. So she is very passionate about young people and children and getting to know who they are, and she wants to talk about that. So that is cool. And so I don't know if she's going to be on next week or the week after, but tune in, and I'll let you know ahead of time. But just tune in. We're gonna get these kids together. Whatever we can do, just like I said, just do it. Help them out. Because it's pretty rough. I've just experienced some things this week that just a heartbreaking things that during my work, and it motivates me to just want to do more, and it's just. That we don't know, that we don't see, that's taking place, that our kids are just in total trouble, so much trouble. And we're going to have to help them, or our kids will be in danger. We'll all be in danger. So it's time for us to just step up. It's time. We don't want to go into that too much. We're going to talk about that more. So someone sent me some information about a summer fest and fireworks show at Inner City Baptist Church, June 26th at 8 p.m. And that is today. A summer fest and fireworks show at Inner City Baptist Church, June 26th, 8 p.m. That's tonight. It said, come enjoy your favorite summer snacks and activities followed by a message from the Bible and a professional fireworks show. 4700 Allen Road, Allen Park. That's 4700 Allen Road, Allen Park. Yep. Thanks for that information, Googie. Shania's mom, thanks for that information. Okay. That is it for today. Enjoy the show. Thanks for everybody's participation. Something else to say. He knows what it was. But okay, so we'll see you next time. Same place, same time. Everybody be safe, take care, and we will see you next week, next time. Okay. Love, love.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. I learned to depend on me. Oh.